Monster Man, episode 387, Dragon and Dryad. Hello and welcome to Monster Man, a show about monsters because monsters are great. I'm James Holloway, and I'm reading my way through the gaming books of yesteryear. And as I do, I'm talking about the monsters that I find in them. Their history, their mythology, their ecology, their imagery, and how to use them in games. In today's episode, we're continuing our journey through Monstrous Manual, the 1993 supplement for Advanced Dungeons & Dragons 2nd Edition. But before we get started with today's monsters, it's time to take care of some business. Specifically, it's time to thank a new Patreon backer. Yes, this is someone who went to patreon.com/monsterman, and they've pledged as little as $1 a month to help support the show. And if, like today's backer, you pledge at the $2 or higher level, you'll also get access to my other podcast, Patron Deities, in which I take a look at the Deities and Demigod supplement, and how to use it and religion and mythology more generally in your fantasy role-playing games. So thank you very much, Tony Nelson. It means a lot to me that you're enjoying the show enough to want to support it. Now, today we've got two monsters that we've done before, but we've got a big one for the next entry, and so I don't want to get started on that in case I wouldn't have time to do it justice. First off, we've got the Dragonan. Now, we've talked about the Dragon before. There is something very weird about this creature, and something that I feel like I'm missing. It's a combination brass dragon stroke lion that is nobody's favorite. It is unusual in that it had a toy in the AD&D toy line, which means it appeared in the D&D scenario Quest for the Hearthstone. Don't ask me. It can roar, causing weakness in all those who hear it. You know, I said before that I'm not aware of any historical or literary antecedent for this monster, but it really just feels like there ought to be one. It has all these little details, like the fact that it has tiny little wings and therefore doesn't fly very well, that make it feel authentic somehow. Those seem like the kind of things that a medieval writer would have included. Perhaps I just feel that if you were going to create the Dragon out of whole cloth, you would make it a little better. It's kind of a big bunch of nothing. It's not very strongly motivated to do things. It doesn't just like pounce on people unless it thinks that they're going to make a home near its lair. So it doesn't ambush passersby or anything like that. But if it does think you're going to settle there, it just goes right at you, meaning that it has the binary states of full-on combat encounter and doing nothing at all. It doesn't particularly have anything interesting it wants other than to drive people away from its lair. I guess you could get something out of the idea that it's, you know, fighting with some other monsters that are settling near its lair, but it all just kind of feels like a real long run for a real short slide. I'm not really sure what the point of the Dragon is supposed to be. Maybe I would feel differently if I'd read Quest for the Hearthstone, you know? Maybe in there it gets some context that makes it work a little better. I just feel like it needs a gimmick, you know? It needs some kind of medieval bit, like it has to eat the mandrake root every 100 years or it dies, or something like that, you know? It just needs a little bit more weirdness and elaboration to really work. Next, we have the Dryad. As a fey creature, it gets a cool Tony Terlizzi illustration, so that's nice. Not wild about some of the other aspects of the Dryad. In particular, Dryads are meant to be kind of seductive. They represent, in kind of fairy tales, they often represent a life free from care and responsibility, with the implication that that kind of life is superficially very appealing. You know, you think it would be nice to go off and just kind of like mess around in the woods and bathe in limpid pools and pluck berries from the branches and like hang around with hippie girls with real good senses of humor. And then after a while, it pales because you realize that you're not growing or changing. You're trapped in an eternal now, which, you know, maybe some people find appealing, but it also has a lot of downsides. The problem is that the Dryad of the Monstrous Manual is much more clearly a predator. So Dryads use their charm powers on sufficiently handsome men. If they find a male character who's got a charisma of 16 or over, they will charm him and basically take him off to go be, well, the quote is, they're, quote, amorous slaves to their beautiful captors, close quotes. Now, the implication is, ooh or misses, it's all in good fun. The men are actually into it because the ladies are so beautiful. But, you know, if you think about it, this is a pretty grim proposition. These people don't have a choice here. I wish that the dryad's charm powers were a little more subtle. I wish that they, say, acted on the dryad to make the dryad uncannily appealing, rather than directly, like, affecting the mind of the person that they are charming. Because this is supposed to be a story about the tension between pleasure and responsibility. You go into the woods looking for the missing scholar, and you discover that he's luxuriating upon a mossy bed being fed grapes by some dryads. And you say, "Professor, we're sorry to interrupt, but you know, your sagacity is needed. A deadly plague is ravaging the city." And he goes, "Oh, yeah, sure thing. I'll be right along. Let me just take a bath to get ready to travel." And then, you know, you come back 3 hours later and he's, you know, having scented oils rubbed into his wrinkly shoulders by a couple of dryads who, you know, appreciate a learned silver fox. And you say, "Professor, we really need to get a move on, you know, the city." And he goes, "Right, yeah, no, absolutely, I'm on my way. I mean, it's only been a couple of minutes, right?" And you say, "No, not really, Professor." There's something to that, right? And you have to kind of figure out a way to get him away from the dryad's control without actually starting a fight with them. Because it's not their fault that they're as lovely as the wood, you know? This is just kind of what they do. But this sort of makes it their fault, right? By trying to take this seductive appeal and mechanize it, it has actually made them like abductors who are forcibly taking these people and essentially imprisoning them. And because it's happening to guys, it's supposed to be funny, almost. I mean, there's a lot to unpack there. I don't think that it's this horrible, offensive idea. I think it's a perfectly sound idea that has been translated into mechanics in a way that unintentionally makes it into this kind of grim and unpleasant notion. So I'd like to see the seductive wiles of the dryad made more in keeping with what, you know, a fairy tale would lead you to expect. I like the idea that dryads, because they have speak with plants and live in forests, are very well informed about what's going on in the forest generally. And therefore, if you can get past the flirting, but also manage to not offend the dryad at the same time, you might be able to, like, get some information out of dryads that could help you in your various quests. It's a bit like the scene in, you know, any kind of hard-boiled novel where the private eye goes to talk to an informant who is just kind of relentlessly floozing at him. So I feel like the implementation of this idea created a bunch of implications that I want to say the creators didn't mean, but I think they kind of did mean them. But I also think you don't have to have them, and that's not really what the stories are supposed to represent. I think dryads are supposed to be so lovely that it is as though people were helpless against them, rather than like, "Oh no, they just controlled your brain." So yeah, I think something can be done with them, but I think, you know, you gotta kind of rejig the way they enchant. I guess the problem is a lot of the words that we would use for that kind of thing are definitely like cast a spell on someone, right? They're enchanting, they're bewitching. But I don't think this thing of amorous slaves to their beautiful captors is gonna stick around because, well, I mean, for obvious reasons. But yeah, that's an idea that I think can't be salvaged. All right, that is about all the monsters that we have time for today. In our next episode, we're gonna be taking a look at one of the absolute standbys of fantasy literature, the dwarf, and looking at how they've gone from their comparatively, I apologize, short entry in the Monster Manual to this much more expanded one in the Monsters Manual. So please join me then for Monster Man, a show about monsters, because monsters are great. Thank you for listening. If you have a favorite monster or something you'd like me to talk about, you can reach me on Twitter at GonzoHistory or by email, gonzohistory@gmail.com. To support Monster Man, just go to patreon.com/monsterman. Thank you to Ray Otis for designing the thumbnail image. Our introductory music is Solve the Damn Mystery by Jesse Spillane from the album Descent of the Goober Monster, used under a Creative Commons Attribution License. Thank you again for listening, and please join us next time.